Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12, page 1061 in the Pew Bibles. The Resurrection. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men were stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened.
So I hope you're having a great Easter season. We've had a great week so far. Our Holy Week services were really great. I know, well, I enjoyed them anyway. Thursday night, thinking about the Passover. Friday night, thinking about the cross and all that that entails. So many beautiful moments. We need to take time to be still. That's what the Bible encourages us to be. Be still. Why? Because only then can you really know that he is God. In the busyness of our lives, and many things conflict or would try to make us stumble and keep us busy and keep us, you know. But we must be still and know that he's God. To know that he's really God. To know that we're dust and yet precious in his sight. So this will be my first Easter in Greystones, and it's been a wonderful one. And just like Christmas, I don't know how we're going to have a wonderfuler one next year, because it's been so good. But it's been so good. Even this morning in the dawn service, there were some pictures went up earlier. And if you didn't manage to make it in time, it was just beautiful. We prayed that the weather would be good, and it was. And we stood and looked at the horizon and saw the beauty of the clouds and the sunrise and said, "He is risen indeed." It was all very unexpected. Many things happened to us that are unexpected. I came into church yesterday and I came through the gate. The gates were closed and I came through the back door and the back door was locked. But as I walked through, this door was open. And you kind of think, it's a bit like Peter and John at the tomb. Hey, what's going on here? That door should not be open. And then a little head popped around the corner and it was Maureen. And I frightened her and she frightened me. But it was unexpected, but it was very pleasurable anyway. Maureen's great. She does so many wonderful things around this place. But it was unexpected. And on that first Easter morning, it was totally unexpected. They knew the stories. They'd heard the words of Jesus. He had tried to tell them. But you know what we're like? We're really slow. We're a bit thick, aren't we? And if it doesn't kind of fit into the context of the things that we know, we kind of dismiss it or don't hear it. And yet Jesus had told them many times of what he was going to do and what would happen. And we know that he died on that Friday, and his body was taken by Joseph of Arimathea, who was a member of the council. The Bible describes him as a righteous man. He was a very fine man. And he took the body of Jesus and he wrapped it, and the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed him to see where the tomb was. And they watched him as he laid the body in the tomb. But the Sabbath was approaching. So they went back home, they prepared their spices, because that's what women did. They would put the spices on the body, and they went home and prepared those, and then they kept the Sabbath. But as the Sabbath passed, and very early the next morning, they got up and they went to the tomb. And what did they find? The stone had been moved. The tomb was empty. And they wondered, that's what the text says, they wondered what has happened? Suddenly two men appeared, and it describes that their clothes had gleamed like lightning. Two men and Jesus. Two men, their clothes gleamed like lightning. One of the commentators suggests that the previous time that kind of language was used about appearance and clothing was back in chapter 9, when Moses and Elijah appeared on that Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. Could it have been Moses and Elijah? It's just a thought. But it doesn't really matter who they were, but they were there. But the question they asked in verse 5, why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. And then they're told to remember. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Sometimes we're not very good at remembering, are we? For me, at my stage of life, if I don't write something down on a list, it's gone. Kind of scary. But we're not very good at remembering. Our memories are not great. But then they remembered. Yeah, he did say that, didn't he? That he would be arrested by sinful men. He would be tortured and crucified. But on the third day, he would rise again from the dead. But they hadn't experienced this before. But they remembered that that was the words that they used. And then it tells us that the women returned and told the 11. That's the 12 disciples, minus Judas. And then we're told who they were in verse 10. The women were named Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them. That's who the women were. They were the first ones to witness the empty tomb. What does that say about womanhood? I think it says a lot. And the women went back home. And they told the disciples, we got to the tomb, the stone was moved, the tomb was empty, and there were two men there with these amazing, gleaming like lightning clothes. And they said, what are you looking for the dead among the living? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. Just like he said he would. Do you remember? Do you remember? And the apostles, the disciples said, wow, that's fantastic news. This is really great. We remember. Did they say that? No, they said, you are talking a load of rubbish. It was nonsense to them. And they were women, and the testimony of women didn't count for much back in those days. But they couldn't take it in, and that's what they said. It seemed like nonsense to them. These disciples, specially chosen by Jesus. What? You're talking rubbish. But were they talking rubbish? Peter got up and he ran to the tomb. And when he got to the tomb, he went into the tomb and he saw the strips of clothing, just as the ladies had said. And the text tells us that he wondered, what is happening? What has happened? He left wondering. So what did Peter make of it? And yet, in a sense, what Peter made of it doesn't really matter, because the man who wrote the book, Luke, was writing to another man called Theophilus. And the important thing is, what would he make of it? Or even more important, when people like us would come along and read this, these eyewitness accounts, what would we make of it? And that's the question for you and me. What do we make of it? So here we are on Easter day. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. But so what? Does it mean anything to us? Does it change anything in us? Paul addresses this very thought in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What he's talking about, has Jesus been raised or not? Is it nonsense? Or is it truth? But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. So if Christ has not been raised from the dead, what we're doing here is a sham. It's worse than a sham. We're all complete Egypts. Do you use that word Egypt down here? All right, good. So what do we make of it? Because if it's not true, then our faith, if we have faith, is futile. The way we live, the path that we choose, it's nonsense. It's all nonsense. It's all. If it's all made up, if he did not rise from the dead, it's a complete waste of time. We may as well give up and go home, go for a walk, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, because who cares if there's no resurrection, if Jesus has not been raised from the dead? Because if I'm hoping for the resurrection, and there is no resurrection, then my life is crazy and completely insane, mixed up, gullible, to be pitied, while the world is living the way they want to, and I am not. Verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. So Paul is saying, Adam sinned back there, back at the beginning, back in that garden, and that sin tainted all of us. That sin condemned all of us. One man sinned, we will all die because of that sin, because we're all in Adam. But Paul's saying, when we put our faith in Jesus, the Christ, the new Adam, this act of one man can save us. This one act of one man condemned us to death. But this act of this man, once for all, is the gateway into heaven, is the gateway back to God, brings us life. If Christ has been raised from the dead, and he has been, this fact changes everything. So those of us who are Christians, has this fact changed everything for you? For the disciples who were frightened, ordinary people, uneducated, fishermen, tax collectors, and the like. Peter denied Jesus, not once, not twice, three times. Judas betrayed Jesus. John was frightened to go into the tomb, scared, confused, ordinary. But their doubts became faith, and their cowardice became courage, and their despair became joy. Where? Deep down in their hearts, they were changed people. And their lives reflected that they were changed people. Everything about them changed. And they said some wonderful things. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John said this, because they're preaching and healing. These frightened people, preaching, healing, telling the good news. And they say, as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We can't help it. We have seen him. We have heard him. We have got to tell about it. We just can't help it. What a life-changing experience. And then Peter writes this in his first letter, chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Isn't that amazing words? From an uneducated, fearful man. He has given us new birth. It's like being born again, a brand new start into a living hope. Not a hope that maybe, but a living hope that is today. It's the today and the then. He will do what he said he will do. If we are his, if his spirit is within us, we will see him face to face. It's a living hope that cannot die. And where does that come from? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because if he has not been raised, we have no hope. If he has not been raised, we have no future. If he has not been raised, what is the point? But he has. So we have all these great blessings, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And then those wonderful words in verse 5, through faith we are shielded by God's power. The resurrection changes everything. It shows that God is completely sovereign. He's in control of everything. This whole act, as we were thinking through Holy Week, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't a defeat. He wasn't arrested and beaten because, oh dear, they've got our leader and this is terrible. No, he gave himself up. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter because that's what Scripture said he would be and he would do. He fulfilled it completely because God was completely in control. On our Wednesday night Bible study with the young people, which is great, we've been looking at the prophecies in the Old Testament related to Easter. And we have looked at them for several weeks, and there are so many, we just can't go through them all. Our God has spoken through his prophets about what he would do, when he would do it, what Jesus would go through, what he would say. Wow. So it changed the disciples, and it changes everything for us, because if God is sovereign, then everything is put into context. So whatever life throws at us, we can see it in a different way. We might get ill. We might be lonely. We might be made redundant. We might lose all our possessions. We might lose all our looks. We might lose all our charm, all our talent. But it doesn't matter, because Jesus is risen from the dead. Everything has changed. I see life in a totally different way. I can face, as the little girl sang, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. It doesn't matter what tomorrow brings. Bring it on. Paul says, count it all pure joy, not because it's great fun, but because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. This changes everything. We will live with him forever. And even when we encounter death, as we will, we don't encounter it as one who's defeated or the end has come. No. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. We thought about that on Friday night. A quotation from Psalm 31. The words that David used. And that's what we do. And at that point of death, for all of us who have faith, it's not a tragedy. It's not nice being separated from those we love, but this is not a tragedy. This is not an end. This is a continuation. And we'll be with him and see him and be like him. Everything is changed. Everything. So it doesn't matter what happens in the world. Everything has changed. There are people in the world today who are persecuted because of their faith. And in recent times, there are many Christians who have been beheaded because they are Christians. But did they say, don't kill me because I don't really believe? No. Everything's changed. You can chop off my head, but so what? You cannot separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what Paul says? Nothing can separate us. People have been persecuted badly at this very moment. But everything is different because Christ is risen. He is risen. Indeed. And everything is changed. And so it's good news. And so as the disciples left, well, the women first of all came to that tomb. The first witnesses, what a privilege. They came and told the disciples. The disciples who were slow to believe, very slow to believe, couldn't believe it. It was nonsense. Were transformed by the reality of it. And they couldn't help themselves from sharing this good news. And now we have the good news. Can we say those words as well? I can't help but tell people what I've seen and what I've heard and who I am in Christ because he's risen. It'd be a shame not to share that, wouldn't it? Because it's an amazing message. In a world that is dark and dying and hopeless, we have a message of light and life and a living hope. This is the message that you have. Hold it gently. Share it. This is what we're called to do. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Let's live this life with the transformational power of Christ in us and shine for him. This is good news to a needy world.